the first day I was walking her, we lived by a school, and I heard someone yelling, "Bella, Bella, Bella," and I assumed it was recess. And so I just kept walking. I'm like, no way is anyone magically yelling the name of this dog that I'm walking that I've only known for 2 days.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and this is Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Today, KC Pet Project Foster Engagement Coordinator Chris Wengert introduces us to social media sensations Bella and King Tut. If you're new to Dog Words, in each episode we explore the world of dog care and companionship. We Save Each Other is the motto of Rosie Fund, which simply means the more we do for dogs, the more they do for us, and they already do a lot. Thank you to Popular Pets for featuring me in an article on Father's Day about amazing pet dads. I've been fortunate not only to be married to an amazing pet mom, Dawn, but to have had two amazing companions, Rosalita Patience and Peaches Delight. The article is linked in the description. ThePopularPets.com has products and resources for dogs, cats, and people. Website founder Kendra Clark was a guest on Dog Words December of 2021. A link to that episode is in the description. We discussed her book, Mother, Pup, and Adorable, What to Do When Your Pet is Better Than Everyone Else's, and some of the resources she used to write, self-publish, and sell her book. You can support Rosie Fund by making a donation on our website or Facebook page. You can also contribute by making a purchase from the store on our website, buying a t-shirt at bonfire.com, or buying our note cards featuring Rosie and Peaches, and our shirts on barkyours.com. Links are in the description. Your donations and purchases help fund the Rosie Life Starter Kits that make sure these senior and harder-to-adopt dogs have some of the items they'll need in their forever home. Any donation amount is greatly appreciated, but here are some popular levels. $30 provides a collar and a leash for a Rosie Life Starter Kit dog, and $100 covers their entire kit. You can also support Rosie Fund by downloading, subscribing, rating, and most importantly, sharing Dog Words. Follow us on social media, even if you aren't looking for a dog. Watching and sharing the videos helps our channel gain exposure, bringing awareness to our cause and giving shelter dogs much-needed attention. Our free Rosie Fund YouTube channel offers great videos of Rosie, Peaches, and shelter dogs looking for their forever home. We welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions, especially if you have an idea for a topic or guest. Go to the podcast page at rosiefund.org to share your thoughts. Next time on Dog Words, University of Washington researcher Julianne Ubigal tells us how some special dogs are using their amazing noses to help endangered species. The mission of Rosie Fund is to provide humans with the resources and education they need to give senior and harder-to-adopt dogs a better life. We thank you for joining our mission. Today's guest on Dog Words is Foster Engagement Coordinator for KC Pet Project, Chris Wengert. Welcome to Dog Words, Chris.
Hey, Phil, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of the show and a big fan of Rosie Fund and everything that you do.
Thank you. We had multiple guests on who have official roles with KC Pet Project and others, less official, different volunteers. And we just love KC Pet Project. And regular listeners know both Rosie, for which Rosie Fund is named, and Peaches, who was the first ambassador for Rosie Fund, both came from KC Pet Project. We're both senior pits. Peaches didn't have a lot of strikes against her. Rosie did. But neither one of them was getting adopted. We fostered, and that foster turned into an adoption. Sometimes that happens, not always. You're the foster engagement coordinator. So tell us, what is the foster process at KC Pet Project? How does someone become a foster, and then what are their responsibilities?
With KC Pet Project, it's kind of a unique experience. With other locations that I've kind of heard about, it's a pretty strenuous process and there's a lot of background checks and you get vetted pretty hard. With KC Pet Project, we really open up our search and we're not restrictive to any certain house types or anything like that. Really, the main three things is you have to be 18 years of age to foster. You have to have a suitable living area that allows animals. So that can include an apartment if they allow your dogs. And you just got to have a lot of love and compassion and patience to give. And so those are the big requirements. But then after you sign up, basically you'll meet with our foster engagement coordinator and they'll kind of talk about your needs. So what are you looking for in a dog? What is your living situation? What kind of dogs would fit best with you? And then they will not only hook you up with the right dog, but we'll provide all the resources for you. So if you need a kennel, you need dog food, you need dog toys, you need poop bags even. They've got a whole closet. I always like to say I'm going shopping when I go in there and go in and grab whatever I need. But those are the keys there. So just making sure you fit those three qualifications. And then once you're signed up, I always compare fostering to a first date. You go in and you have been matched up with this person and you don't quite know anything about them. And you kind of spend the first like week or so in that first date phase with the dog, and you figure out what they like and you figure out how they act in situations. And then from the first date, you can kind of slowly transition into the honeymoon phase pretty much, where you know their routine, they know your routine, and you can kind of go from there. So it's a cool process. It's great with Kansas City Pet Project to be able to see so many different types of people go in and out. And right now we're pretty jam-packed, and the biggest need we could use is for large breed dogs. So that's usually dogs anywhere from like 30 to 180 pounds, whatever you can find or whatever you want. Those are our biggest needs right now.
And with that big range, it's important for a potential foster to know if large dog to you is 60 and you can handle 60 pounds, KC Pet Project isn't going to say, wait, you said you'd take a large dog, so you get the bull mastiff that weighs 180.
Right.
No dog, regardless of what the circumstances are, is going to be forced on you. You always make sure it's a fit. You guys do a wonderful job of matching.
100%. I always say Sarah Gillette, who's the foster coordinator, has some like dog juju magic, like matchmaking magic. It's impressive. We've had 16 fosters so far, and each one might have, well, I've never left with the dog I wanted when I went into foster, which says something about Sarah, but I've always been so thankful for the experience, and there's never been a dog that I've been like, that wasn't who I was supposed to have. So it's pretty magical, the process that goes on. I mean, from a questionnaire that you fill out at the time of applying for fostering, Sarah digests this information and has a relationship, a magic relationship with these hundreds of dogs in the shelter, and manages to always pick out the right dog for the foster. I mean, it's a cool experience. And the good part is also, if you want to foster puppies, you have the opportunity to do that. If you want small dogs, although they're not readily available, we still do need fosters for small dogs as well. And so if you have a preference, we can take that and keep you on a short list. And when a dog comes in that needs a foster that meets the qualifications that you might have, even if it's a very specific dog that you're looking for, we'll work with you. I mean, we will take all hands on deck, to be honest. And we're happy to, if you have specific needs, take those into consideration. And we won't ever force a dog that we don't think you can handle on you, or that you would be uncomfortable with, or that doesn't fit your needs. That's just not going to be successful for you or the dog. And so we take that in mind.
You mentioned some people want to foster puppies or foster little dogs. We've had a few guests on who are sort of specialists. They go for the pregnant dogs and take them through the pregnancy until they have puppies, and then help get that mama dog and the puppies adopted out once the puppies are old enough for that. People who specialize in pits, people who specialize in large dogs. Do you feel like you have a niche, or you just are at the mercy of Sarah?
I have a niche, but it's not so much the breed, it's the personality type. I always like to say I love to foster the misfits, the slightly quirky guys. I know you said that Peaches didn't necessarily have a lot of strikes against her, but I kind of dig the dogs that have had a bad rap and had a few strikes against them, and just kind of need that one-on-one advocate, that person who can, maybe in the shelter, their description is offensive, or they have like these really kind of negative connotations toward them. And I think one of the benefits of a foster is you can take that dog who displays those behaviors, and he might not be able to totally fix them, but you can change it and frame it to potential adopters in a way that makes them understand that it's just dog stuff. And so I think those are the types of dogs I love, the kind of challenges, the not, you know, plug and play dog that anyone could work with. And so I like the kind of thrill of everything that fostering comes with, those kind of, I don't want to say weirdos, because that's not a good term, but I do like the quirky and cold.
it's finding a fit And that dog that you're fostering that is perceived as having some strikes or being quirky, a lot of those dogs, the shelter environment is not a fit. And that means they do not present well to a potential adopter, but getting them into a foster who's a fit allows those adopters to see, oh, this is that dog's personality. This is where they would be a fit. They would fit with us. That's what we're looking for, which is not as readily seen in the shelter for a lot of dogs.
I agree. I think when the biggest thing that I get from trying to get people to foster, or when I do promotion, not only for my foster dogs, but through KC Pet Project, is everyone's biggest thing is, how can you give that dog away? Fostering, like, it seems so mean to the dog because you bring them into your house and then you let them go to somewhere else. They're probably so confused. And to those people, I understand how fostering looks to someone who's never fostered before. Don't get me wrong. I know it looks like we take dogs in and we bond with them to throw them onto another family. But I really challenge those people when I talk to them. If you don't think fostering is a better spot than the shelter, go to KC Pet Project today and walk up and down those kennels, and you find me a dog that would do better in those kennels than they would in a foster home. And I think that outweighs any sadness or any stress of transitioning into a new home that a dog might experience. I mean, we've kind of transitioned now in this COVID, post-COVID world of shelters are so full that the shelter is becoming a long-term stay for a lot of these dogs. And the longer they stay there, the worse their mental health gets, the more strikes they can gather against them. And then that makes them harder to adopt. And so in my dream world of the shelter being a spot where dogs come in, they can be triaged. KC Pet Project especially could do their 7-day evaluation period. And the shelter shouldn't be long-term. And if we had a foster lined up, they go to a foster home, and almost the shelter becomes that stop. And then the foster homes are the real shelter. And I think it would be amazing for the animals. And I think our dogs that we would take into our care would be great. But it's just, some dogs might be able to adapt to that shelter life, but not all of them. And for sure, fostering helps 100% with that. I mean, my current foster King Tut is the best example of what a shelter can do to a mindset and what a foster home can do for a dog. So King Tut has been with KC Pet Project now for over 250 days. The first 150, 160 of those were at the shelter. He was a surrender. And so he came in and he was a green walk, which means any volunteer can walk him. Mm-hmm. He was adored. He was loved. And then about 2 months into his stay, he was losing a lot of weight. He became irritable with other dogs. He no longer was social, started to become offensive at his kennel, started a resource guard. And then basically they had found out that he had ate a tennis ball that was in his kennel. So then he went back to surgery. They removed it. He was in the vet clinic, got released back from the general public. He ate another toy. And so there was just this cycle of this anxiety building up in him, which caused offensive behavior, which caused pica, which he was just not only eating toys, but when they would try to walk him, he would eat clumps of grass and mud. And that anxiety was so full that when we went to go pick up Foster, Sarah, again, worked her magic. And we had a dog that we had in mind. She was like, well, let me tell you about King Tut. And, you know, those conversations are never easy because she's trying to sell us on a dog who could eat our rugs and eat our, eat our chairs and eat our whatever's. But I had walked him before because I also walk dogs, and he was so sweet. And I was like, you know, he just needs a chance. What can us taking him home? And if he can't adapt, then, you know, we gave him the best we could. And within a week, he started to see the anxiety kind of decompressed, and we were able to really focus on getting his medications correct, getting him healthy. And as that one-on-one time that we were able to spend with him, you just saw a totally change in his personality. And now the dude is napping 18 hours a day on the couch, is great on walks. It's pretty amazing when I think back to when we first brought him home and how much anxiety the shelter had caused, to now just seeing him in his day-to-day life. And if he's not a poster child for fostering, I don't know who is.
Yeah, he's a beautiful boy. He's a good boy. And because he's in foster, there was a time when a dog in foster had their picture in a photo album and people would come into the shelter and could flip through and see, oh, there's this dog with a picture and maybe a bio. But now a dog in foster actually may get more exposure than the dogs that are in either the main shelter or the Zona Rosa location with KC Pet Project, because you can post videos and pictures and develop a following so that even people who are not a fit for King Tut can pass along the information that you share online as his advocate, and perhaps someone will see him who would not otherwise have known about him.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the best examples of that is the Rosie Find alum, who was Bella, who was just a fantastic dog. But Katie Grissom, one of the marketing gurus at the KC Pet Project, had started making TikTok videos and Instagram posts. And she was an internet celebrity by the time they convinced us to foster her. It was a very similar situation as King Tut. We went with the dog in mind and left with Bella after some convincing. And it's pretty amazing. The first day I was walking her, we lived by a school, and I heard someone yelling, "Bella, Bella, Bella." And I assumed it was recess. And so I just kept walking. I'm like, no way is anyone magically yelling the name of this dog that I'm walking that I've only known for 2 days. And it just kept yelling and yelling and yelling. And finally, I just turned around, and there was a group of students along the fence yelling, "Bella." And I was like, "Hi." And they're like, "Is that Bella?" And I was like, "Yes, you've guessed the dog's name." And they're like, "Oh, we follow Katie on TikTok, and Bella's our favorite." And so from there, those group of kids, after we talked, I sat there after I made sure the teacher was aware that some grown man wasn't just talking.
Using his dog to lure children to the fence.
Exactly. So once we got over the creepiness of it, we just talked, and it was so amazing to see the effect that social media has in not only like finding a home, but just promoting dog welfare. And from there, this group of kids inspired me to hop on all the social medias. And it's pretty unreal when you market a dog and someone comments like, "Oh, I love Bella, but I'm in Australia." And I'm like, how does some 30-year-old man who has an Instagram about dogs have such a worldwide audience to reach it? But it's a pretty fun and like amazing thing to broaden that horizons, because I couldn't imagine finding a home for these harder to place dogs if it was just a book in the shelter that you had to look through. I mean, with these social media
posts, dogs standing all around you in kennels, barking for attention. That's, I'm just going to thumb through the book.
And you just can't capture the personality. Like, I think about Bella, and what you would see at the shelter or in a photo was a slightly portly older lady who necessarily didn't enjoy your company at the shelter if you were the first time meeting her. But I had the ability to use my social media to show people her being like, I called her the stoop kid, and she would like lay outside and just like stare off and make sure no one was messing around in our neighborhood, or her love for like baby pools and her climbing in, or her ability to grow and to play with toys and all those things. And being able to document those and show those to people was instrumental in her being adopted. And so that's kind of the approach I take. And in my role at KC Pet Project, I help all foster marketing. So if you read bios, more than likely, I've had a hand in writing bios. I help, you know, making sure they have pictures up on the website that are endearing and personality-wise. And then I kind of work on promoting them for my social medias as well. And that's my favorite part about fostering, is kind of that creative aspect of it.
When you mentioned bios, the bio that we have on dogs in the shelter sometimes are based on, if it's an owner surrender, that we have a little history about the dog that we know, oh, it lived with cats, and it was great with cats, or it was surrendered because it was attacking the cats. So, right, so it's not good with cats. But other than that, you pick up a stray, all you know about the dog is what you see in the shelter. But with a foster, you can get a much better bio and a much more realistic bio, because it's in a more natural environment. It's in a house. It's around kids. It sees other strange dogs on the walk. It goes by a yard that has a cat. You can get a bio that's going to help someone identify, is this dog going to be a fit in our home?
Yeah. And I think bio writing is kind of an art too, because you can give people bullet points and it doesn't necessarily draw them in. A lot of my favorite things about bios is just creating the most ridiculous fantasy story around a dog, but then also like putting in all of those important points. So for King Tut, he has an Egyptian themed bio where we talk about some really dumb lines that make me laugh every time I write them down, but like, don't walk like an Egyptian, run to adopt King Tut, things like that. And I think being able to market dogs like that draw people in with bios is something that I think everyone could benefit from. And that's what I really work with all the fosters. You know, my goal is to not be the person that has to write every bio for Casey Pet Project. My goal is to, you know, sit down and be like, well, I like to make sure the name's in the first line, because when you scroll through the website, you're not clicking on a dog for a name, you're clicking on a picture. So you want to make sure you put the name up right away. Or you want to have a fun sign-off, because that's the last line they're going to read. Mm-hmm. So they're going to remember that. And so kind of dressing all that up along with having great information and only information a foster could provide, like how's kennel trained, how do they walk on a leash, are they been good with the kids that they've met, all of those things would never be something that a shelter could fully guarantee, because they don't have the home environment.
Even something as simple as they like to snuggle on the couch while you watch a ball game.
Yeah.
You don't know that about a dog in the shelter.
Right.
Because we don't get to snuggle on a couch and watch a ball game at the shelter. So that fostering is so important. I do want to talk about, when it comes to social media, the reach that something like the Dodo has. And any of our listeners who don't know what the Dodo is, I would say would be in the minority. I would think most of our listeners are familiar with the Dodo. If you're on social media, you've clicked on a Dodo video in Facebook or in your YouTube recommended videos. How did you get connected with the Dodo?
Yeah, the Dodo has been a surreal experience for me. I had been targeted for years with their videos, and to know that I have worked hand in hand with the Dodo has been unreal. And so it all comes back to our wonderful girl, Bella. So through social media, they had actually reached out to the shelter to do a video on Bella before we were even thinking about fostering Bella. So when we were going to take her into foster, they have a specific group of videos, which is what I'm now associated with, that is just called Foster Diaries. And so it's an episodic stories about fosters.
Mm-hmm.
That first video was mainly footage from the shelter because we had just started to foster her. But after I made that video, one, I don't know why they invited me back. My voiceover was awful. I'll never forget, I wrote this like 3-paragraph long voiceover. I sent it off, sent the recording to them, and all I got was a, hey, maybe you could redo that and not read it. Just like say it. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so, you know, I sat down.
Maybe you could do that again and not suck as much.
Yeah.
How about that?
Well, and I was like, how bad did I do? Like, oh, I was so embarrassed. And I was so proud of myself after like the first time I recorded it. And so I redid it and sent it off. And I didn't really hear anything much from them except, you know, hey, we're going to release it at this date. And it came out. And I was mortified again because I had sent them a 7-minute recording and they used 5 lines of my voice in the video. So I was like, oh, well, this was my one moment. You know, mm-hmm. This was fun. Now I'm immortalized on YouTube for this dog video. And it got an amazing response. I like sat there and I clicked on it. And the first video of Bella has over 2 million views just on Facebook alone. And so I was like, what a wonderful treasure to have as like a memento of Bella as she moves on mm-hmm. to her home. You know, I'll always be able to revisit this video. And she didn't get adopted. So I was like, oh man, like if that didn't work.
Welcome to the world of Rosie Fund, because we will have videos we post of dogs that it's like, look, that's not our best video, but the dog is great in that. And maybe my voiceover is not the most compelling, but it is what it is. And it'll have thousands of views. It's like, yay.
Yeah.
And then that dog sits there for 2 months.
Well,
and then you have another one that has 7 downloads. It's like, what are we doing wrong? And then the dog is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the most frustrating thing about social media, promoting social media in general, is the things you dislike the most you just threw together have the ability to blow up in an instant. And the things you think are like, you're like, this is my best work. You like press send and you're cracking your knuckles. You're like, this is great. I can't wait. And no one, just zero.
Yeah. Well, what was the most humbling is the wonderful Alan Murray that works at KC Pet Project. When she was the manager of the Zona Rosa location, she was fostering a dog. And what we do sometimes is if there's a volunteer or a staff member who has a relationship with a dog, is I just kind of talk with them and let them share what's wonderful about this dog, why someone would want to adopt it. And we did her video, and that video had 1,000 downloads faster than any of mine have gotten to 10. It's like, I'm the professional media person. What am I doing wrong? But So Bella, 2 million downloads on Facebook. Yep. But she's still sitting in your house.
Yeah. And so I was pretty disheartened. But, you know, I think the thing that I've realized the most is the dog is never going to give up on you. So you have to continue to fight and advocate for that dog, no matter how bleak or how little it is. I tell anyone who's starting fostering, who asks, you know, how do I get my dog adopted? How do I reach the most people? And you just got to plaster the internet. You just got to never get discouraged. One person might like the picture, but that one person is all. So that one person who might be talking to a friend the next day and they're like, hey, I saw this post. You're looking for a dog. Here you go. And so I thought that was going to be my thing. I'm just going to keep plastering the internet with Bella. I'm going to make as funny videos as I can. I'm going to highlight her in the sweetest ways possible. Blew TikTok up, blew Instagram up, did everything I could. And then about a month after the first video, the producer that I had worked with in the first one had reached out and asked for an update about Bella. And I was like, oh, you know, she's still in our home. Haven't really had a lot of traffic recently. And he's like, well, let's just make another video. And I'm like, we can just make another video? And so he's like, yeah. So the second video we made, instead of focusing on her transition from the shelter to our home, was strictly her foster experience. And while we were creating that and curating the sound and everything, we actually had an email from someone from Iowa who had recently just seen our first Bella video on the Dodo and was interested in meeting her. And so I was like, yeah, come on. So these people were amazing, were awesome. They drove from Iowa to Kansas City 6 different times to meet Bella.
That's commitment, and it's due diligence.
It's unbelievable. And
you don't want someone to say, well, we made the drive, we might as well take her. Because you don't want it to not be a fit.
Yeah, 100%. Especially, you know, I say we have misfits, and we've had several dogs who've required those multiple visits because I wouldn't feel comfortable sending them away to a house that I didn't feel the people knew what they were getting into, basically. And I say that in the nicest way possible. I don't mean that these dogs were bad in any way, shape, or form. But some dogs take dedicated people to want to foster them. And if you're not dedicated, I would hate for any fosters of mine to ever be surrendered back to the shelter because of something I missed. And so I'm pretty thorough and make sure there's multiple meetings that they have. But they came down for 6 times, and we were able to create this wonderful full circle video. And, you know, anytime I can't sleep, that's the midnight video that I go to really warm my heart. But that's when I really realized the power of the Dodo, because that video just on Facebook alone has 8.4 million downloads. And that video blew my social media from 100 or so followers on Instagram to now almost 4,000, and I've got like a couple thousand on TikTok too, all because of this one video. And it's amazing to see that. And then, you know, after that video, I just worked with that producer again. So we did a Christmas themed Dodo video, which was a lot of fun to make with our foster Chloe Mae, who had been adopted. And then we just released one with King Tut about his kind of foster journey as well. And it's fun to go from, you know, reading that script of generic language to now having a co-partner almost who can create these wonderfully awesome videos. And not only videos about my foster, but my goal when I do these is to highlight the joys of fostering and the benefits of fostering, because I don't think people get to pull the veil back. You know, there's no fun movies on Disney about fostering dogs.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
It's hard to do the Disney ending, the Hollywood ending.
Yeah, there's no mainstream dog fostering information or anything. And so I always say I weasel my way into any opportunity to talk about fostering, about anything. So anytime I see a podcast or a Facebook forum or anything, even at parties, I kid you not, I've gotten 3 dogs adopted just by talking to random people at parties about fostering. My goal in all of this, you know, 1, get dogs adopted, of course, but promoting just like Joe Schmo, Chris Winger, can literally take these dogs and find them homes. And I have no dog background. I have no formal training. I've never owned a dog before. I started fostering. I walked dogs for like 2 months before I decided to foster. And so you don't need a whole lot. You just need love, patience, and the ability to give the dog space and time. And you can be a good foster. And if you love social media, if you have a phone full of dog photos like I do, promoting your foster is second nature. I mean, it's been a surreal experience working with the Dodo, and it's been surreal to watch social media grow, and it's been surreal to be able to help other people find and promote their dogs. It's been a pretty cool experience.
You said you have fostered 16 dogs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we touched on one of the reservations people have about fostering is how can you bond with that dog and then say goodbye to them? I'm not going to pretend that that is an easy thing to do, but 16 times you've made a family very happy.
Yeah.
And you've made a dog very happy.
Yeah. And I want to be very clear. Like, I cry so much every adoption. I mope around the house the next day. When Bella got adopted, I got a call from my girlfriend because she couldn't find me at home. And it was just the normal time that I would walk Bella at in the evening. And so I just like went for a walk by myself around the neighborhood. I don't want to sugarcoat it and say like I fostering you separate yourself from those feelings, because you don't, and you feel it every time, and it doesn't get easier. But the analogy I give is I was an old high school teacher, and I really approached fostering in that teacher mindset where a student's in your classroom and your goal is to make sure they're educated and can move on in their life. So when you're not around, you know they're going to be making good decisions and have a successful life. That's so much of what fostering is you accept this dog in knowing that it's temporary, and you do everything you can to make sure they're loved and that they feel comfort and that they're safe and that they are set up for success when they go out into the world. And when I put myself in that mindset, the bond is different, but the love and compassion is still there. Like, I know when I bring a dog in, my end goal is that they're out in the world without me being successful. And so it still sucks to have that hole in your house, but it's such a great feeling the second you get that photo of them belly up on the couch next to their adopted family. It's just an unreal, it's unreal experience. It's great.
Anyone who's interested in fostering, if they're in the Kansas City area, there will be a link to the KC Pet Project foster page. But this is something that most shelters and rescue groups offer. In fact, there are some rescue groups that have no physical location, that it's exclusively foster. So you can find foster opportunities in almost any community and have the same heartbreak but satisfaction that comes with knowing you've made the world a better place because you got a dog in their forever home. You got a dog out of a shelter, you got a dog out of a rescue group, and you helped make a family better people because they have a dog. So if you'd like to do that, click on the link or check with your local rescue groups and shelters. And whether you foster or not, follow Rosie Fund on social media, follow KC Pet Project on social media, follow Chris on social media. There'll be links to his social media in the description, because that guy in Australia isn't going to adopt one of the dogs that Chris is fostering, but that guy in Australia has friends on social media who might live in Kansas City or where your rescue group is. So just following helps everyone. Follow us Facebook, Instagram, subscribe to the YouTube channels. Chris, thank you so much for what you do, and thank you for being on Dog Words. And by the time this airs, I hope that King Tut is in his forever home. But even if he's not, I know that he's with someone who loves him.
Yeah, and just thank you for everything you do. The Rosie Fund is amazing. Taking the foster part out and just being a part of KC Pet Projects and helping market dogs in the shelter, being able to add that Rosie Fund tag at the end of their bio is a great feature. And I'll tell one story about the Rosie Fund that I think really touched my heart was with Bella. And I'll never forget, you know, with the Rosie Fund starter pack, they get the leash and the little dog tag. And the post that they posted when they adopted Bella was, the color of the collar was a hard choice, but the tag wasn't, and it was a heart, and it said Bella. And it gives me goosebumps just telling that story. And just, I want you to really appreciate that you were able to do that for a family and a dog who really needed it. And so the Rosie Fund has been terrific, and I look forward to hopefully fostering some dogs that are sponsored by the Rosie Fund in the future.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And yes, it warms our heart whenever we see something like that. And that's why we do it. So thank you again, Chris, and keep up the good work.
Thanks.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and you've been listening to Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Thank you to KC Pet Project Foster Engagement Coordinator Chris Wengert for joining us today. All the links we discussed in today's episode are in the description. The shelter animals available for adoption at KC Pet Project, whether they are in foster or reside at a pet project facility, are listed on kcpetproject.org. Next time on Dog Words, scientist Julianne Ubigal tells us about her canine research partners. A big thank you to alternative string duo The Wires, featuring cellist Sasha Groshong and violinist Laurel Morgan Parks, for playing the wonderful music you've heard on today's and previous episodes of Dog Words. Supporting The Wires supports our mission. Learn more about The Wires, including their concert schedule, at thewires.info, and download their music on iTunes. Check out fiddlelife.com and learn to play fiddle and cello fiddle online from Laurel and Sasha, even if you've never played before. Join Laurel and Sasha as they explore new music and delve into the inspiration behind each work as hosts of Sound Currents on 91.9 Classical KC. Click on the Sound Currents link in the description for more information. Go to rosiefund.org to shop and get links to our social media. As always, please download, follow, rate, and share Dog Words. This helps us with sponsorships, then Rosie Fund can help more dogs. Send us your comments, questions, and suggestions via the contact form at rosiefund.org, and let us know if you would like to be a sponsor or a guest of the Dog Words podcast. Thank you for listening to Dog Words, and remember, we save each other.